real blessing, amen? Folks that miss Wednesday night sometime don't know what they missed. That was good. We appreciate the family singing and good message in song. It is a privilege tonight to have Brother Daniel Mawson with us. He was the pastor of Tom and Allison Spadano. I see him sitting there kind of close. I thought I'd get him aside and find out a little background on him, maybe. All joking aside, we're glad to have him tonight. And I was telling him it was fixing to turn cold tonight. He said, not like where he was from. up in Center Springs, Pennsylvania, Victory Baptist Church. And we're glad to have them. I asked them not only to sing, but to come on and bring us a message tonight. So, Brother Daniel, you come on, please.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Carter. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Mark and chapter number 2. The Gospel of Mark and chapter number 2. I am glad to be here. It is an awesome privilege to be standing before you tonight. Just recently, I was telling your pastor, I just met him a few minutes ago, and I was telling him I just recently read some of, I looked at all the pictures, brother, I read some of the biography of Brother Carter and what God has done here. Little did I know that God would bring us here and that I'd be standing here tonight. And I remember this, putting that book aside on my end table and asking God this, God, would you do the same thing in Pennsylvania? And you know, we serve the same God, and we have the same Word of God and the same Spirit of God, and God can work anywhere. I told Brother Spadano, I said, your preacher is kind of brave to have me preach, and he hasn't even really met me, and I guess that's because of the Spadano connection. So if I say something wrong, we're going to blame it on the Spadanos tonight, okay? And I appreciate the Spadano family. Brother Tom and I, when I first got to Victory Baptist Church about 10 years ago, he said, hey, Pastor, I want to go soul winning. And I said, great, let's do it. And of course, he was a salesman at that time for Ehrlich, and he had a creative day every week. And so on Sunday, he'd say, hey, I think the day's going to be Wednesday. I said, okay, great, what time? And sometimes he would text me, but he would figure out a way on his creative day to meet his preacher and to go soul winning for an hour. I'll tell you, I praise the Lord for a church member like that. You know, Brother Spadano has had me out in all kinds of weather. You know, you can't let a church member show up the preacher. It's like 10 degrees below zero. And Brother Spadano says, we going out? My flesh said, no way. Are you crazy? But I said, yes, sir, we're going to go out. And I remember we've been out there. The people open up the door and they say, you guys are crazy being out here. Yup. And but we've seen God do a lot of things, and I'm so glad they're here and in a good church. And I want to be a help to you tonight. I want to look at a familiar story from the Gospel of Mark and chapter number 2. And if you'll follow along, I'll read the first 12 verses here, and then we'll look at the Word of God. The Bible says this, and he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise, take up thy bed and walk, but that we may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Would you bow with me? Let's ask the Lord to meet with us. Lord, we recognize that this is your word. We recognize, Lord, that we need the power of your Spirit to communicate truth to our hearts. Lord, I cast my dependence upon you, and I ask that you would use me tonight to be a blessing to these dear folks. And Lord, I ask that you'd be honored and glorified. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I love a happy ending to a story. Does this microphone work right here? Maybe I can use this microphone. Can you put this someone up there? All right, wonderful. Oh, there we go, different sound. I love a happy ending to a story. My children will ask me, they'll say, hey, Dad, can we watch a movie tonight? And I'll say, sure, as long as it ends on a happy note. I don't like sad endings at all. As we look at this story, I want you to think about this story from a brand new Christian's perspective. Somebody gets saved, and they're given a King James Bible, praise the Lord, and they get the Bible out, and they open up to Mark chapter 2, and they begin reading this story. Now, for some of us, we're very familiar with this story, but imagine they read this story for the first time, and they're looking at it, and they go, okay, here's a man that's sick. Uh-oh. I don't think he's going to make it. Is he going to make it? Well, maybe he is. Oh, look, they're going to bring this guy to Jesus. Okay, and they're reading the story along, and they say, uh-oh. The house is full. They can't get him in here. Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, look. They cut a hole in the roof. Oh, wow. Look. Oh, look. Jesus heals him. Wow. What a tremendous story. We read this story. I don't know about you. I find encouragement in this story. And we read this story, and the story really is built, in my perspective, it is built around four individuals. These four individuals believed three key things. And I want to give them to you tonight. If you're taking notes, I want you to write three words down. The first word is convincement. Here we have a guy that's sick. Here we have a guy that has a need. These individuals, these four, want to help the guy. They want to meet the need here. They have to be convinced of a couple things. Number one, they have to be convinced that the guy really has a need. I'm amazed at the difference between a mom's ear and a dad's ear when it comes to a newborn baby. When my children were little and I hear them cry, oh, there's a problem. I always say, no, there's not a problem. Just let them cry. But there were times when we'd be laying in bed and there would be a cry and my wife would get up and she'd say, I got to go tend to the baby. What's going on? I never could hear the difference between the two cries, but my wife could understand and she knew the difference when there was a real genuine need. These individuals came across this guy that was sick and they said, hey, we're convinced that this guy really has a need. Do you know the Bible tells us that we're to lift up our eyes and look on the fields for they're white already to harvest? We'll never help anyone to see that Jesus is the answer in their life until we recognize that people have needs all around us. Everywhere we go, there are people that have needs. But they had to be convinced of something else, not just that the man had a need. They had to be convinced that Jesus could meet the need. We don't know much about these four men. We might assume that one of them heard, hey, here's this guy that's sick. What are we going to do to help this guy? We got to find somebody to help him. And maybe one of the men said, hey, I heard about a man named Jesus. Maybe one of the four individuals said, you know what? I had a sickness. Well, I had a problem in my life. I was blind, and I met a man named Jesus, and Jesus healed me. They had to be convinced that Jesus could meet the need in the individual's life. Let me say this, if Jesus is not meeting the need in your life, you're not going to be convinced that Jesus is going to meet the need in someone else's life. You see, if we're not understanding who Jesus is and allowing Jesus to meet the need in our life, if we're not walking in victory and walking as God would have us to walk, why, if we're defeated and discouraged and overwhelmed by life and the problems of life, why, who are we going to help? People say to us, hey, they're going to look at you and say, well, you don't have any answers. But if I'm convinced that Jesus is meeting the needs in my life and allowing him to meet needs in my life, I'm going to be convinced that Jesus can meet the needs in everybody else's life. And these men said, hey, here's a guy, and this guy has a real need. They stopped, saw the need. People are busy. People are often too busy to see the needs in other people's lives. They say, hey, here's a need, and here's a legitimate need. And they're convinced if we can get this man to Jesus, maybe Jesus could help him. Number three, I want us to see as we look at this matter of convincement, here it is. They had to be convinced that they could be used to get the man to Jesus. You see, it's one thing for the man to be sitting there and the guys to look at each other and say, well, Jesus could probably help this guy. Maybe a bus will come by and get them. Maybe somebody will come by and get them. No, no, no. As they talked about this man and as they saw the need, somebody said, hey, maybe we could get this guy to Jesus. Hey, maybe between us all, we could figure out a way to get this guy from where he is to get him to Jesus. You see, they became convinced that they could be channels to help that man to get to Jesus. Do you believe Jesus has the answers? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus has all the answers. Jesus can meet every need in everybody's life. But often, we're not convinced that he can use us to get people to Jesus. You see, these men were going to have to be together, and they had to come to convincement. All right, so number one, the word is convincement. Number two, as we look at this story, they had to be convinced that they could, if they got this man to Jesus, Jesus could help them. The scripture says in verse number three, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. At the end of verse number four, the Bible says they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Our second word tonight is the word cooperation. The Bible says that he was born of four. One man couldn't carry him by himself. You ever have somebody that's sick or somebody, I'm not somebody that's sick, somebody that's hurt. You go by and they tell you, don't move them. Maybe these guys looked around and they said, okay, together we got to get this man to Jesus. It took cooperation. Now I want to just paint you a little bit of a picture here tonight, and I want to ask the Spadano family to come up here. All of the Spadano families, come on up here. And I want us to think just a minute about what it would take as we use our imagination here, and we pretend that here is our nice cot right here, and we've got to get somebody sick to Jesus. And I want you to think about this. Come on up here, Spadanos. Let's see who's sick. Joey, you're sick. You're also light, so we can carry you for sure. Put Brother Spatam on here. We won't be able to move. You sit in the middle. You're the sick man. All right, Timmy, you got to grab a corner of that. Landy, you got to grab a corner of that. And Allison, how about you grab this corner over here? And Brother Tom, now, by the way, what a wonderful picture. What a wonderful picture. Why did God give you a family? Put your family together so that you could get people to Jesus, right? And so in order for our story to take place, for things to happen, they had to work together, right? Now let's begin as they begin to walk and they begin to take him here. And all of a sudden, come on, Landy, you see, all right, perfect, perfect, stop right there. Great illustration. So we're trying to get an individual Jesus, and one person says, I'm too busy. I can't do this. And they drop their corner. They say, hey, maybe this guy's too heavy, right? All right, so you come this way. Come on this way here over a little bit. You're not going to fall. Come on, Joe, boy, you're looking sick. All right, stop. Stop. Do you know in society, people come up with all kinds of excuses. Can you imagine if one of the guys that was carrying this cot decided to say this? Here's Brother Spadano. He drops the side and he says, why do I always get the heavy end? Why do I always get the side? I always have to, you know. Think about it. They had to go from where they were to where Jesus was. Hey, they had to work together as a team. One guy couldn't complain and say, oh, my back's hurting. Oh, my leg's hurting. Oh, you know, people come up with a lot of excuses. Hey, it took for this man to get help. It took them working together. Now, I want you to picture this just real quick. We have to lift this man through the roof. So let's move him over there just a little bit. Just a little bit. Boy, Joey's getting nervous. All right, stop. Yeah, we don't want you killing that kid. All right, think about lowering somebody. Lowering him off the platform. Joey's like, oh, Lord, I promise I'm saved. He's getting assurance of salvation real quick, right? All right, imagine lowering somebody from a roof down in. Boy, that took some real cooperation. If one of the people decided to let go of their end, that man would have done falling right on top of Jesus. Can you picture that? Boom. I mean, I'm telling you, it wouldn't have been a good situation. But they had to work together. You may go. Thank you. Let's give him a round of applause. What a wonderful job. Great job. Do you see what God wants us to do as a church? Is God wants us to work together, to cooperate together, to see needs in people's lives, to work together to do what? to bring people to Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's about bringing people to Jesus. And so for this man to be healed, for this man to have Jesus meet the need in his life, they had to be convinced. All right, the guy's sick. Jesus can heal him. We're convinced that we can get this man to Jesus. As God's people, we need to be convinced that God wants to use us to get people to Jesus. It's a command all throughout the Word of God. And yet often in Christians' lives, it is the area where we find ourselves in disobedience is a command. But secondly, they said, hey, we're going to all work together. We're going to unite together as four, and we're going to take this man from where he is, and we're going to get him to Jesus. And that's what the church of God ought to do. Now, word number three. Word number three is the word commitment. It is the word commitment. So they get this guy, and they get him to the house. They get him to the house where Jesus is, and they've got a problem. What's the problem? The problem is the house is full, verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they went home and they said, man, this isn't going to work. No, that's not there, is it? They got to the house and they said, man, this house is full. And one guy says to the other, man, I told you we shouldn't have done this. I told you this was a dumb idea. No, we don't see that in the Word of God, do we? We hear that amongst Christians when it comes to getting people to Jesus. I remember years ago talking to a youth pastor. He said in his church, this was years ago, he said a couple guys came and they came out on visitation and took a couple cards and nothing happened, and they came back and they threw the cards on the table and they said, this doesn't work. And I say, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so what do? They come to this story. They come to the house and they got a problem. And somebody says, hey, we came this far. We're not going to give up. So how are we going to get there? And the guys look around and they think, hey, how are we going to get this man to Jesus? Because if we can just get him to Jesus, Jesus is going to help him. And so they climb up onto the roof of this guy's house. What guy's house? I don't know. You ever climb up on the roof of a stranger's house? Me neither. But it gets worse. They climb up to the roof on the stranger's house. Imagine what the people inside might have been thinking. Looking out the window going, oh, man, there's some guys climbing up on the roof. Maybe they could hear as they're climbing up on the roof. And now they got a problem. How are they going to get through? They didn't pull out a Sawzall. You know what I'm saying? They got to figure out, hey, we got to start taking this roof apart. Imagine the people inside of the living room, inside of the house. I think Jesus was probably right in the middle. I think the owner of the house was probably, if it was me, I'd be sitting right next to Jesus, amen? And here's the owner probably looking up and probably listening and probably looking up and thinking, uh-oh, what's happening to my house here? And all of a sudden, they take the roof off the house and they lower the man in. And the Bible says, Jesus delivered. Jesus saved him. Jesus met the need. Do you know what didn't matter to these men? What didn't matter was their reputation. They didn't care what anybody thought. They didn't care what the people inside the house. Hey, obstacles didn't matter. Nothing mattered at all to these men except getting this individual to Jesus. They were committed. What does it take to stop you? I know in every church, people get excited and they go out and they go soul winning, then they get busy and then they backslide a little bit. You see, backslide? Yeah. They backslide a little bit and they don't pass out tracts and they don't witness. Commitment is what it takes. Commitment is where God wants us to be. Brother Spadano, before he left, got burdened for an area about 20 minutes, 30 minutes from our church. And he said, Pastor, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to try to pass out some tracts and win some people to Jesus. And I said, okay, good. Your burden, go ahead and go, brother. And he went out there and asked him how it went. Oh, it went okay. Didn't have too many what you might call divine encounters with people. But he left a brochure on somebody's door. That somebody was a Catholic. That Catholic overslept that morning. He missed his mass, and so he decided to drive to Victory Baptist Church for Sunday night service. We have a handshake time in our church, brother. It allows me to shake hands with people, allows me to meet visitors. And I went back to this fella, and I said to him, hey, what brings you here? And the fella said, well, I missed my mass this morning, and I got this brochure on my door, so I decided to come have mass right now. I said, well, praise Jesus. After church, he was coming out, and I said, hey, has someone showed you how you could know from the Bible you're on your way to heaven? He said, no, could I show you right now? He said, yes. We sat outside on the church steps, and the man trusted Christ as Savior. When we were finished, he went to his car to get something. And I had, you know, I was a little bit shocked. I'm still trying to put these pieces of the story together, so I decided to ask him again. I said, so you mean to tell me someone put a brochure on your door, his brother Spadano, and you came here because of that? And he looked at me and he said, yes. And he said, it works. I said, praise the Lord, it works. The man moved. We met for a discipleship lesson or two, and the man moved, and we lost some contact with him, but praise God, he trusted Christ as Savior. He trusted Christ as Savior from a brochure. My son, David, and I, a number of years ago, were out canvassing, and we're out banging on doors, trying to talk to people. It was an afternoon. It was a hot afternoon in Pennsylvania. We do have them right in the middle of July, you know, August. We have a few hot afternoons. And we were out there, and we talked to people. I think most people were not home, and we talked to two people. And one of the people was a lady that said, hey, my husband's sick. I can't come. I can't come. I can't talk right now. I said, okay. About 3 weeks later, I got a voicemail at the church there, and it was from this lady. Now, I didn't know it. She said, my husband's not doing well at all. And she said, could you come over here and could you talk to me a little? And I said to a deacon that went with me, I said, hey, I know right where we're going. I said, this husband's got prostate cancer and he's not going to make it. And I started to go to the neighborhood where I thought the guy was. My GPS is taking me to a different neighborhood. It was interesting. And we're driving through this neighborhood. And I thought, I remember being in this neighborhood. I remember not too much happening when I was here with my son, David. Not too much happening. And I knocked on the door, and the lady came, and she said, my husband's in here. Come on in. She took me to the back bedroom, and there was her husband lying on the bed. He was dying of cancer. I sat by the side of the bed. His name was Mike, and I went through the gospel with Mike. And Mike trusted Christ as Savior. Mike's first request when he was done praying, he'd open his eyes and he said, I want my wife to do the same thing. And I turned and sat, and she was sitting in a rocking chair, and she said, when he did, I did. And you know what she did? It shocked me. She went in her kitchen and she got the brochure and the tract that we had given her a month ago. And she looked at it to me and she said, I still have this. She said, when you came to the door and I was unable to talk, she said, I knew God sent you. As an unsaved individual, she knew that God sent us. And boy, she got gloriously saved. By the way, let me tell you this real quick, and then I'll tell you one other story, and we'll be finished. Her daughter in New York was praying for her father to be saved. We had a prayer meeting a few weeks before, and in our church, we were praying, Lord, would you save so-and-so in Arizona? And my wife's father's in Arizona, and he's not saved. Would you save him? Lord, would you save this one out there? And then all of a sudden, one of our people said this, God, there's somebody in our community who someone far away is praying for them. Would you send us to them? And that was the individual. Praise God. You see, it takes commitment. It takes cooperation. It takes convincement. Timothy Staffel was a firefighter. Several months before September 11th, he had been severely burned when he rushed into a building that had been crushed under by a large beam. As they drug him out, they were able to resuscitate him. He began to go through many months of rehabilitation and skin graftings and surgery. And finally, the day came in August of 2001, which was the same year that the 9/11 Trade Tower situation happened. Finally, in August of 2001, he came before his superior officer and was about ready to be recommissioned and get back to the front lines. The superior officer looked at him and said, you've been on the front lines already. You don't need to go back. You don't have to go back to active duty. You've suffered more than enough injuries. Let me give you a desk job. And it'll be all right. He wouldn't hear of it. Finally, After hearing their case, he stood up in front of the captain and the other supervisors and said, "Men, I appreciate what you're saying today, but I must go back. It is my calling to go back." And go back he went. His first day back was September 11th. His first call was Trade Tower 2. And Timothy Stackfold was one of the first to give his life on that day. Why? It was his calling. Why? He was committed. Why? He said, "I have to." God has given us a job to do, folks. It's about bringing people to Jesus. Are we convinced? Are you convinced God can use you to bring people to Jesus? He can. Oh, be convinced of it. God can take your weakness and your frailty and your personality, and God can use you to see many, many people to Jesus. It takes cooperation. God's put together churches. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the emphasis that your pastor's had for so many years. I'm thankful for the great work that is happening here. But you know what God wants to do? He wants to do greater things. God wants his church to unite together and say, "Hey, we can do it. Hey, we can reach this world for Jesus Christ." It takes cooperation. But you know what? There are some bumps that happen in the road. Oh, sometimes people slam the door in your face. I had a guy come to the door once with a gun. "What'd you do?" "I didn't know it. I was with a teenager. The teenager saw the shotgun. I didn't see it. I'm just telling him, you die today, you're going to go to hell." And this teenager's about ready to have a cow. And when we're done, he walks next to me. He goes, "You see that gun?" I said, "No, what gun?" He said, "Man, you're going after him. He's on his way to hell, and he's got a shotgun behind the door." Hey, listen, we hit bumps in the road. But you know what? God wants us to be committed about bringing people to Jesus. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you for the story. What a picture it gives to us. Lord, I pray for each one here in this church. Lord, I ask that you would make all of us soul winners for Jesus. You have the answer. Oh God, would we be committed, work together, see you do a great work in Jesus' name.
Let's stand with our heads bowed. What a tremendous message for us as we get close to going out, knocking doors, and getting ready for our big day. You know, those four men, they were just ordinary men. They might have had no more talent than you've got, but they cared enough to go and do the extraordinary, amen, get somebody to Jesus. Invitation tonight is, I'm just going to say it like this. What if all of us ask God to show us how to be one of those four? Amen. To bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ? There's not anybody in here that's saved that God would not use if we make ourselves available. Amen. Tremendous preacher from Brother Daniel tonight. Tremendous message. Great preaching on the basics that's so needed, that we get away from so much of the time. I want to ask Brother Burt to lead us in an invitation song. Maybe you ought to come to the altar and say, "Lord, lay somebody really on my heart. I want to hold up my corner. I do want to cooperate with your church. That's your plan, to go out and reach souls." Brother Parsons is going to give us the opportunity here to go with the college, knocking doors, soul winning. I know we have a number that do that already, but some of you may never have. This would be a good time on Monday and Tuesday from 1:30 to 5 that afternoon. No telling what God would do if we just give him a chance. Brother Daniel told you about the fireman. Felt like it was his call. And the truth is, it's all of our duty and our calling to win somebody else after we're saved. Could be if you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you'd come on down to the front, one of us will take a Bible and show you how you could be saved and know it. Just like the man, Brother Daniel, said, came because of the brochure at his door.